Good morning. This is Akashvani. I'm Saira Mujtaba with World News. The headlines. Defense Minister Rajnath Singh participates in 12th ASEAN Defense Ministers meeting in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia. Calls for an open, inclusive and rules-based Indo-Pacific. Rob Jetten's centrist liberal D66 party wins general elections in the Netherlands. US lawmakers urge President Donald Trump to reconsider his proclamation on H-1B visas. External Affairs Minister Dr. S. Jayashankar says India-UK ties have evolved from complicated historical association to forward-looking partnership. And UN says situation in Sudan's North Darfur remains catastrophic. Over 60,000 people displaced as Rapid Support Forces militia seize control of Al-Fashir. And now the news in detail. Defence Minister Rajnath Singh today stated that India views its defence cooperation with ASEAN and plus countries as a contribution to regional peace, stability and capacity building. Mr. Singh was speaking at the 12th ASEAN Defence Ministers Meeting Plus or ADMM Plus in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia. He emphasised that the ADMM Plus is an integral part of India's Act East policy and its broader Indo-Pacific vision. The Defence Minister also highlighted that India's Indo-Pacific security vision connects defence cooperation with economic development, technology sharing and human resource advancement. He added that the strong connection between security, growth and sustainability reflects the true spirit of the partnership between India and ASEAN. Mr. Singh reiterated that India's approach has always been clear, an open, inclusive and rules-based Indo-Pacific.
India's approach has remained clear with an open, inclusive and rule-based Indo-Pacific. India's emphasis on the rule of law, particularly the United Nations Convention on the Law of the Sea and its advocacy for freedom of navigation and overflight are not directed against any country, but are meant to safeguard the collective interests of all regional stakeholders.
The ADMM serves as the highest defense consultative and cooperative body within the Association of Southeast Asian Nations, or ASEAN. The Defence Minister yesterday took part in the second ASEAN-India Defence Ministers informal meeting. Mr. Singh reached Kuala Lumpur on Thursday on a visit to Malaysia. Earlier, Defence Minister met his South Korean counterpart, Ahn Kyu-bak, on the sidelines of the 12th ASEAN Defence Ministers Meeting Plus, or ADMM Plus, in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia. In a social media post, Mr. Singh informed that he also met New Zealand's Defence Minister, Judith Collins, and extended her the invitation to visit India. Mr. Singh added that her visit will reaffirm the shared vision of India and New Zealand to build a forward-looking partnership in defence. Mr. Singh also met Vietnam's Defence Minister, Phan Van Chiang. External Affairs Minister Dr. S. Jayashankar has said that India-UK ties have evolved from a complicated historical association to a dynamic and forward-looking partnership. In his remarks during the UK National Day celebrations in the national capital yesterday, Dr. Jayashankar highlighted that both the nations have not only expanded cooperation under the Technology Security Initiative, but also deepened it with regard to connectivity, AI and critical minerals. Dr. Jayashankar emphasized that it is also an occasion to recognize the invaluable contribution of the 1.9 million strong Indian diaspora in the UK.
Over the years, our ties have evolved from a complicated historical association to a dynamic and forward-looking partnership. We have not only expanded our cooperation under the Technology Security Initiative, but also deepened it with regard to connectivity, AI, and critical minerals. 9 leading UK universities have received approval to establish campuses in India.
India has sent a strong message to Pakistan, exposing its hypocrisy and demanding that it end the grave human rights abuses as its forces suppress the people's open revolt in areas of Kashmir it illegally occupies. Speaking at the UN General Assembly, Bhavika Mangalanandan, a first secretary at India's UN mission, said that in the last few weeks alone, occupying Pakistani forces and their proxies have killed many innocent civilians who are agitating for their basic rights and freedoms in parts of Kashmir that Pakistan occupies. Sri Lanka's inflation rose slightly in October, climbing to 2.1% year-on-year last month. Data from the Colombo Consumer Price Index showed headline inflation continuing its gradual move towards the central bank's target range, up from 1.5% in September. This is Akashvani giving you world news. For quick news updates round the clock, follow us on our X handle at AI News Alerts. And for details of these stories and more, log on to our website www.newsonair.gov.in and download the News on AIR app. Welcome back to World News. In the Netherlands, Rob Jetten's centrist liberal D66 party has won the general elections, toppling Geert Wilders' far-right party for freedom, or PVV. D66 and the PVV emerged as the equal largest in Wednesday's election, with 26 parliament seats each. But with almost all votes counted, the media reports yesterday said that D66 held a slight lead of about 15,155 votes over PVV, with 99.7% counted. The full count won't be announced until Monday. This result puts D66 leader Rob Jetten in line to become the Netherlands' youngest prime minister. However, a new government won't form immediately, as a long process of coalition negotiations is expected. On the 4th of this month, lawmakers will appoint a special negotiator, known as a scout, to begin the lengthy process of exploring which parties can form a ruling coalition. U.S. lawmakers have urged President Donald Trump to reconsider his proclamation on H-1B visas, including the $100,000 fee, asserting that Indian nationals are central to American leadership in IT and AI, and the restrictions will negatively impact U.S.-India ties. U.S. Representative Jimmy Panetta, along with members of Congress Amy Bera, Salud Carbajal, and Julie Johnson, wrote to President Trump on the issue. The lawmakers expressed concern over President Trump's restriction on entry of certain non-immigrant workers' proclamation on the H-1B visa program that imposes a $100,000 fee on new petitions amid other restrictions. United Nations has said the situation in Sudan's North Darfur state remains catastrophic following the fall of its capital, Al-Fashir, with continued attacks on civilians. The UN Office for the Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs, OCHA, said civilians continue to flee towards Tawila, a town 40 kilometers away, and humanitarian access to Al-Fashir remains blocked. OCHA said in Tawila, the UN and local partners are working to register new arrivals to provide emergency support, but huge gaps persist, including shelter materials, medicines and trauma care supplies, food assistance and psychosocial support. The United Nations and its partners are moving at top speed to coordinate and deliver aid across the Caribbean to support government's responses in the aftermath of Hurricane Melissa. The UN Office for the Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs, OCHA, said it is working with partners to support the governments and deliver urgent assistance to millions of people in Jamaica, Cuba, and Haiti who were in the storm's path. UN Undersecretary General for Humanitarian Affairs and Emergency Relief Coordinator, Tom Fletcher, emphasized that the international help is essential for survival right now. In Cuba, the storm caused serious damage, particularly in the eastern provinces like Santiago and Holguin. And now before we close, here are the highlights of the bulletin once again. Defence Minister Rajnath Singh participates in 12th ASEAN Defence Ministers meeting in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia, calls for an open, inclusive and rules-based Indo-Pacific. Rob Jetten's centrist Liberal D66 party wins general elections in the Netherlands. US lawmakers urge President Trump to reconsider his proclamation on H-1B visas. External Affairs Minister Dr. S. Jayashankar says India-UK ties have evolved from complicated historical association to forward-looking partnership. And UN says situation in Sudan's North Darfur remains catastrophic, over 60,000 people displaced as Rapid Support Forces militia seize control of Al-Fashir. With that, we conclude today's world news. Stay tuned to Akashvani. Good day.